Hey everyone, I'm Brad from Calgary.
This is Sean from Cambridge, Ontario.
I'm Terry from Cornwall, Ontario.
Hey, this is Larry from Pitt Meadows, British Columbia. And you're listening to the Towing Life Podcast.
Welcome to the Towing Life Podcast, where the ditches are deep, the trucks are loaded, but the drivers are not. I am your host, Towman G, and as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, friend, and former co-worker, man with very strong opinions, Mr. Plain Guy.
What is going on, G? What is going on?
Oh, well, my Wi-Fi has been tremendous, and we've been delayed a little bit of recording this episode, and it's late already, so hopefully, fingers crossed, everything works out.
Absolutely, absolutely. The way this is going, it should be the Towing Life Podcast, where the internet is weak, the coffee is strong, and we don't know if we'll make it through or not. So, as G said, welcome back to another episode, episode 135. I still say it. I know I say it a lot, but it amazes me to say that number out loud every week and realize how far we've come from episode one, episode two, episode three, and so on and so forth. And we couldn't do it without all.
Do you think 135 episodes in, we deserve a little break?
We will get to that. I think it is well deserved. every episode is impossible without the support of everyone who listens, comments over on the YouTube side, all that good stuff. So we do appreciate you, coming week in, week out and joining us. You are the reason that we continue to keep this episode or this show going. So before we get into it, it is a good time to mention, how can you get a hold of us? It is easy. You can head over to towinglife.ca. Don't forget to check out the merchandise store while you're over there. I've seen some recent orders. Actually, I've been tracking it a little bit, and it comes in spurts and some shows or some shirts, some sweaters. We're really getting out of the sweater season, starting to come into more of the tank tops and the t-shirts. We do have a good selection on that. So don't be sure to check it out. Towinglife.ca. You can email us directly at thetowinglife@gmail.com. So thetowinglife@gmail.com. Or visiting us over on Facebook at the Towing Life Podcast. I'm trying not to yawn as G does it on screen right now. If you're watching over on the YouTube side, don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, share the podcast, rate and review the podcast. Everything you do, it really helps promote the show, and it's a free way to help support us. So we do appreciate each and every one of you.
Mm-hmm. We've had quite a few good comments in the last video. We got Eric. He sent us quite a few topics that he wants covered, and we're not.
I believe that was recovery billing.
The basics of towing, recovery billing, including common terms and procedures, different billing models used in the industry, pros and cons, challenges and solutions related to accurate invoicing, payment collection, tips for tow truck operators to optimize their billing processes to improve efficiency, advice for businesses and individuals on understanding towing recovery invoices and managing related expenses. Eric, you're going to put me to sleep on that episode, so I'm sorry.
It's all good stuff. What I recommend, we will try and put an episode together where we do discuss that, and we'll bring in people that are much more familiar and much more well-versed in that than G and I. I don't think G's ever written an invoice in his life. And when we're getting into big, heavy recovery invoices, I am limited. I have done some, and I've continued to do more and more. But I would rather bring people in that are much smarter than us when it comes to those things. But what I recommend to you, Eric, if you get the opportunity, head down to some of the bigger tow shows. They normally offer a course on billing and straight up recovery billing and maximizing your billing and kind of all the topics that you you reached out about. If I remember right, the course is probably about $500 for the weekend. I get it adds up real quick, but if done properly, will absolutely, be worth it in the long run to you. So much so that I know my owner has gone for the course multiple times just as a refresher and everything, just to keep up on new changes and new ideas and new billing practices that are going on within the towing industry. So that's probably one of your spots. A lot of those American Towman shows, especially, will have a course of that sort at it. So,
but why spend $500 at a course when you're at a tow show to have fun, when you could just ask a couple of fellows on the internet and we give you your half-cocked remarks. Speaking of half-cocked remarks, Joe started complaining about his voice-to-text in the comment sections. Says, the company that I work for services a town of 60 to 70,000 people with a total of 11 drivers, 8 on weekdays, 3 on weekends. That's pretty good to service 60 to 70,000 people. They do hauls over 200 miles. We've been doing driver logbooks for probably 13 years in California. If we go over 100 miles, and I was told by our highway patrol at way station, we have to fill out one day in advance and the day of the haul plus the day after. We have been going through way stations for a lot of years here in California. And as far as I know, if you have a weight sticker on your truck, you are going through the scales.
Yeah, of course. So again, that's something that varies from state to state and country to country. So Joe, we don't have our weights on our trucks. We just go by off our doorpost. We don't have our registered weight labeled outside of our trucks. I believe that is an American thing. And for example, in Ontario, you are required to, if you are hauling freight and you are hauling on a logbook, which would be outside of 100 miles from your home base, which is what you're referring to there, 160 kilometers here in Canada, you are required your previous 14 days. So that is why towing companies have had a hard time. It's not just like, I kind of like that setup. You need your day before and your day after kind of thing. And that way it's just to be able to show that you weren't running for 3 days straight. You have to show a rest period in there. But again, that is something that varies state to state, province to province, country to country. So just be sure to be educated on it. But I kind of like the way, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I like the way California is doing things when it comes to logs for tow trucks. And as for the weight scales, yes, we just now have to enter them. Previously in a lot of provinces, and a lot of people were shocked when that statement came out from Ontario Towers saying that we're now required to go into scales because they've been required for a long time to enter way stations. We always use it as good practice. I mean, we have nothing to hide, but, yeah, that is one thing we were a little behind on.
Well, that's one thing that the towing industry has always lacked on is when you get into it or when I got into it, it was just, yep, we don't have to follow the hours of service. Okay, cool. It was just a blanket statement. Didn't have any idea about logbooks or anything like that, but it's good and bad. I could see, like, I've worked for 36, 40 some hours straight without sleep. And yeah, it's, you do get fatigued and you do a worse job 40 hours in without sleep than you would half an hour into your shift with a full night's rest.
Yeah, but we're not, that's not what they're looking at. They're looking at, you know, your standard day in Canada is you're allowed, hold on, let me correct this here. 14 hours driving, 16 hours on duty. 12 hours. Yeah, I believe it's 14 hours driving, 16 hours on duty. When you're talking to, like, again, 40 hours is you're going to get fatigued no matter what. But yes, we're talking about though straight driving, highway driving. That's what a lot of the scale house, that's what a lot of the freight stuff comes in. When I did that Michigan run, I can tell you after 8 hours, I needed a stop for 30 minutes. I needed that. So yes, the hours of service is, something to play within. My biggest concern, that we recently found out, during a random inspection down in Quebec, and it's something we're looking more into, and anyone with information, if they want to share it, by all means, is that I am apparently, which kind of makes sense, supposed to log my hours in the office against my hours of service.
Really?
In theory, you are on duty. Although not driving, you are still on duty hours that are being burnt. Now, I'm a little torn on that. I can understand the reasoning behind it.
So would that mean a driver who comes back to the office for, let's say, a lunch, or it's a slow time, so he's just going to sweep the shop and hang out, play on his phone for 30 minutes, he still has to be on duty as well?
Well, you need, like, there is 30-minute breaks that you can take off duty. But yes, if he is going to be there sweeping floors and doing work, then in turn he should be on duty. In Ontario, that still doesn't affect us very much because, short of hauling freight, you're still exempt from the hours of service. Us being a border town with Quebec and with the United States is a bigger issue because when we cross over there, it affects our logs in that time. And that's what it was. It wasn't a somewhere in Ontario that told us that. It was in Quebec where we are required to have the logbook outside of the 160. And they were adamant about the your hours in the office need to be logged.
Yeah, so, speaking of your Michigan run,
yes,
Wicked One said, "Hey, plane guy, was the customs officer in Detroit a blonde lady by chance? If so, she's famous for finding any mistake in your paperwork. She's vicious."
No. So in the export office, I dealt with a brown-haired lady. She was sweet. She was super sweet, super nice. I know that she was, to my understanding, when she explained to me, was of Mexican descent. So she came from the other border. Mm. And no, she was great. Like, she was apologetic whenever I couldn't get through. Whenever I showed up, even after my 36 hours was up, I showed up hour or two early. And she told me it would be her until 4 o'clock. I got her. She was great. She was easy to deal with. She gave me clear instructions on what I would need for everything. So, no, it was not a blonde haired lady who's looking to find trouble. This was a brunette lady, and yeah, she was absolutely pleasant. I don't know her name. I don't remember. I don't think I should share a U.S. government official's name, even if I did know it. But no, it was not a blonde.
Let's just dox this very nice lady at the border.
yeah. So no, she was very sweet and very helpful. So it wasn't the one that clearly you've had some run-ins with.
We've also had Jesse here says he loves the hat that you were wearing in the last episode. And we also have a gentleman by user-TW. Thank you for the info on the e-log used during towing. We also use Geotab. I'd like more information on how your operators switch between on-duty floating and on-duty towing in the same day. Most applicable to carrier operators, I would think. Ontario, Canada.
Okay, perfect. What was his name? Sorry?
User-TW.
Okay, user-TW. What I recommend, send us an email directly at thetowinglife@gmail.com. You'll see it up on the banner up on your screen. It's constantly at the beginning of every episode. You can find it. So thetowinglife@gmail.com. Send me an email directly.
I'm also replying to his comment, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Tell him to send me an email directly and I will, walk him through, what we do to be able to do hours of towing versus hours of float work, and how we cycle that through to show everything. So yeah, send me an email directly. I got no problem helping you out. As for the gentleman that commented on the hat, yes, last week I was wearing, a towing company's hat. I love hats. I've never hidden that fact. Neither of us ever have. We're constantly wearing hats. You've got on today our wonderful Towing Life podcast hat that we had from the tow show. I'm rocking a 25 Picard racing hat that we get for a local dirt track guy that we sponsor. So yes, I will wear any hat for any towing company. You want to send it to me, send me an email at thetowinglife@gmail.com or send one to G and I will get you, I'll get you some addresses. You can send some hats and I'll wear your hat on my show too.
Free promotion.
I wear many hats.
Yeah, many hats on job and on camera.
Yes, absolutely. I have switched around lately. We've got in our office, my wife was sick, so the impound was obviously unwomaned for a couple days last week. So we had our admin doing the impound, helping with the dispatch, because I've got a dispatcher gone to Cuba for 2 weeks. So we've kind of all been floating around. Monday we came in because of the Easter holiday. Half the staff was off Monday, half the staff was off the Friday. So we were running around. It's the thing that keeps it exciting is constantly having, you know, whether it be in the office, being a desk jockey, as some of my operators like to call it, or getting out on the road to do some fun. And you know, we didn't really talk about it, but we had probably in our area, at least our biggest snowstorm of the year in April. It was that one we had on Thursday. I think it was Wednesday, Thursday was an absolute doozy down here. And it was probably our busiest day of the year.
Into the Friday. There was a lot of black ice out there.
Yeah. We managed to cram an entire season into a day and a half. And the trucks in the ditch were plentiful. The cars in the ditch were plentiful. It really made up a bit for the poor winter that we had. Ironically, now it's been so nice the last 2 days, there's not an ounce of snow to be found. Like, it came that quick and it left that quick.
Yeah.
So,
but I really liked how we were talking about all these comments. So I kind of want to get into the interwebs comment section.
Okay.
Because just before we started this, I scrolled upon a wonderful post by Clay. He says, "How does everyone feel about towing for AAA? Pros and cons." So that's a heavy hitter question right there. We've got one comment here from Trevor. "Been towing for AAA Northeast for a little while, coming from contract work. They have awesome benefits, set schedules, sign-on bonuses. They match 6% first year on 401k. They are pretty sick coming from 4 years in subcontractor world first."
Okay, so that is a big difference then, and that is something that I don't know what the original poster is asking, right? Mm-hmm. Because I do know, and I believe that is American only. I know for sure, I shouldn't say for sure, I am very confident that within the province of Ontario, there is no three-letter roadside owned and operated tow trucks. Mm-hmm. They are all subcontracted out throughout the province. I have heard, and I have seen that multiple times in the States, where being a direct employee of AAA for their, you know, if they own their trucks, or I don't know if he's referring to their office or what he's referring to, but that they do have a decent payment package, benefits package, and shift work. So I'd be very curious to see, hey, AAA, you want to offer me a job? I will sign a non-disclosure and immediately break it on this show to discuss exactly what it is that you offer these operators. But I you know, if he's talking about being employed directly for AAA, I have nothing to report on it.
Mm-hmm. We've got
if he's asking about being a subcontractor for them, it's a hit or miss, right? Mm-hmm. It really depends. We've talked about this over and over and over again. I feel like it's almost like beating a dead horse. Is that it depends on the area you're in, how saturated that area is, what kind of services you offer, and what rate you negotiate with the roadsides. Everyone that says that the roadside does set the rate, and even in our area, the roadside doesn't come to us and go, "Hey, what's your rate?" And we go off it. But the rate in which they offer is a very reasonable rate. So, you know, and as long as, you know, roadsides have always been a means to justifying an end. Whether it be for smaller companies or bigger companies, they are absolutely a tool to be used, but they are not the be-all and end-all. I do not believe that you can 100% or even over 60% rely on roadside contracts in order to generate revenue and profit for your business. I believe they are a gap filler. And, you know, when we worked together at the company, it was solely used to be able to employ more people because of the cash flow that it brought in, which in turn allowed us to meet the requirements of other contracts that we had, i.e. police contracts and that kind of stuff, because it allowed you to have more employees and have that 24-hour coverage.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's, you got to find a fine line. Like, I've personally like running for roadsides because there's that chance that you will flip that roadside call into a better paying cash call as well. Whether it's they're in an accident and it ends up coming back to your pound because they're unsure of how normal accidents go, because of course they're unsure, they're hopefully not getting into accidents every day, or just, you know, you're out in Timbuktu and, hey, this roadside sees that you're out there and I've got a call going back remotely close to your area. Do you want it? Type thing. And yeah, the pay not be great, but you're getting paid on the way back that you would just be running deadhead anyways. So like it is good filler. And like you were saying, it's okay. You might have enough work as it sits for two, maybe three employees in your town. You pick up this roadside contract and most drivers out there, I want to say probably over 50% of them easily have some sort of roadside, whether that's through their new financed car, whether that's the big three-letter roadsides, or through their credit card, whatever. you're opening yourself up to a higher volume amount of calls for your business. You can bring on a couple of extra guys. You're not burning out the same three guys all the time, just like that. And unfortunately, just like this post, we get a lot of negative things about roadsides. Now, I'm not going to bat solely for the roadsides. A lot of these comments are valid. Like, they suck. Yep. I don't care what people tell you. They suck. Another one is, yep. Well, first things I first, agree. How good are your nerves? Because they will get on every single one of them.
Like, and again, this depends, as you're reading those comments, it really depends on who you ask. If you ask my accountant, she loves them. Because they pay on time. Yep. Right. They're very accurate in their billing. And if they're not, if there is an issue, they are quick to resolve it. Like, I have not remembered a scenario, and we are very tight on our billing. Like, we, you know, are very calculated on our billing. I had one recently where they were disputing and it was a heavy tow. Right. Class A motorhome. And those always get a little tricky on the billing with AAA or with CAA or whoever we're doing it for, PDG. I don't care if I'm going to mention them. I'm not saying anything bad about them. But their system showed, well, according to our system, your dispatch clicked that they were on scene on this time, clear at this time. They were not accurate times. Right? So they were saying, okay, we owe you an hour. And I'm sitting there going, no, you owe me 2.5 hours because it's actually on heavies is an hourly rate. And it was very easy. I went to... You know, because we're geo, you know, we talk about the geo tab. I'm GPS logged on my trucks. I pulled the log from that call and it's right there on, you know, shout out to Towsoft. It literally integrates with it. So when that driver was on that specific call, it shows me where the truck went and the times. So I was able to show them the entire time of the call and go, I'm actually at 2.75 hours. You know, for the sake of my guy, I might have stopped for a coffee or something on your dime. Well, you know, we're going to do 2.5, right? That is a reasonable time. And bam, problem was solved, right? So they're very good to deal with as long as you have all your ducks in a row. And we're a company that prides ourselves on having, as much as it's organized chaos, having all of our ducks in a row, if not being able to go find the answers to these questions when the roadsides question these kind of things. I've never had an issue with them. They've been, you know, anytime I've put foot to pavement, you know, or you know, started to get a little aggravated, I can assure you they have come around to my way of thinking and have done the right thing. And in the same sense, if they call me, give me a call and it cancels 2 minutes later, I'm not trying to bill them for it. Right. I'm sitting there going, no, that's fair. If I give you a 3 hour ETA, cause it's the middle of a snowstorm and that guy cancels 45 minutes later, my contract says after 15 minutes. If I didn't actually have a guy on his way to that, I'll cut you some slack on one. Right. And if you work well with your reps, with your people, you know, and it depends what club, that is one thing. I don't know if a lot of, I think towers realize it. I know the public doesn't, is that take AAA and CAA, for example, they are actually like, it's not CAA Canada. It is all individual little clubs. Like Ontario has two or three of them and they all work differently from the others. And I believe AAA would be the same thing as the guy referenced AAA Northeast. You know, so they have a little bit. So it depends who you have in your corner within your region. And I'm sure there's bad regions that you don't want to deal with. Personally, I hated dealing with the region when we worked together. I love the region that I'm in now. Right. It's just a different mentality among the club.
Like, if you think about it, there's been a very heavy sediment towards insurance companies as a whole, right? It's always seems to be a fight.
Too.
But yeah, it's us versus them. So you're not going to cut them any sort of slack, the insurance companies. However, roadsides, you kind of need to have a working relationship with the roadside, at least the dispatchers, your rep, because if you have the same mentality as you do to insurance companies, to roadsides, which a lot of people do because they're just, oh, screw it. It's not paid enough. It's not worth the bullshit. I need to get paid. And you're always coming to them with that attitude. They're people too. Yes, they have jobs to do and different quotas, whatever. But if you treat them fairly and with respect, they're more likely to bend a rule for you here and there or give you that extra inch instead of the mile or whatever the case may be. like I've had a situation fairly similar to yours. It was a heavy call, getting paid hourly, and it's from port to port. I get out there, I pick up the vehicle, and they said, well, since the current member only has this amount of package, you have to travel 200 kilometers, stop your clock, bill the member kilometer-wise for the remainder portion, but then you got to do it two ways back, and then once you get to the point of the where you went over your 200 kilometers in the first place, then you can go back on our hourly to back to your port.
Yeah, I've done like, that before. It's not that complicated. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, I guess. The customer was confused as all hell when I said, okay, well, it's let's say it's 300 kilometers and you're covered for 250 kilometers, right? Mm-hmm. The tow. Then I say, okay, well, you owe me for 100 kilometers. And they couldn't understand the fact that I was charging them both ways. And they're like,
you don't have to charge them both ways. You charge them one way. Double mileage. double the rate. No, it's true. So we do that. We do that very same thing where when we do like a class A motorhome, mm-hmm. right? They're covered for 160 kilometers, but we bill hourly. Figure that mm-hmm. one out, right? So if it's over the 160, it's not hard. I go on mm-hmm. Google Maps and I see mm-hmm. where the 160 mark is, right? Because mm-hmm. you can, if you actually like hover your mouse along the route, it'll give you mm-hmm. what the mileage is so far on that trip. I hit the 160 kilometer mark. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. I then look at when my truck left or what time mm-hmm. he got to that mark, and I just charge travel time back. Mm. Then the customer just pays, you know, whether it be hourly after that to do a round trip mm-hmm. back to that point, or mm-hmm. if it's kilometer based from that point to his drop, double the mileage up and charge him, you know, instead of telling the guy you're charging him $4 a kilometer each way, mm-hmm. just tell him you're charging him $8 a kilometer one way. Same thing.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of things. The problem is you only do it, you know, and I don't know any company that'll tell me they run a truck nonstop all day for, you know, AAA heavies. It doesn't mm-hmm. happen. Right. Mm-hmm. So the problem is it's something that you only do periodically, maybe once every two, 3 weeks, once a month, once every 6 months. Yeah. I know us for heavies, maybe every 3 months we're doing one. Yep. So I mean, we even have the fight
in the summertime with the RVs and everything.
A little bit more, yes, but we have the fight whenever the time comes with our roadsides, because again, mm-hmm. they're in the same boat. They're not doing it every day. Mm-hmm. 97% of their call volume mm-hmm. is disabled motor vehicles, not Class A RVs. And you know, so when you try and explain to them that it took an hour to load or an hour and a half to load this Class A tandem axle pusher onto my lowboy. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, why did it take an hour and a half to load?
Yeah.
And then you send them a picture and they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, because this $750,000, you know, bus, I'm mm-hmm. not going to try and load in 15 minutes with no help or anything. It's going to be a little bit slower process. Yeah. So again,
but they've also been really good too. Like I've had situations where in my own area, they say, we've got this heavy call. Can you go out and assess it? Okay, cool. They're paying me heavy rates to go out and assess this bus. I show up in my little 5,500 Ram to this diesel pusher bus motorhome that's sunk down into the grass and no air in it. And then the guy's like, well, you're not going to tow that. I was like, no, correct. I'm not. But the roadside wants me to take pictures, make sure all the ducks are in a row, make sure there's like ownership and insurance. And since I'm here, I can maybe also arrange an unattended tow for you, right? You show me all your documents. We could get it set up because this is something that needs a specialty piece of equipment to show up and tow. This is something that we might have to schedule.
Right? You ever show up at one of my calls for a Class A like diesel pusher and you set up an unattended tow, and I will assure you that I am not towing it. If you think I'm going to do a no air pusher on my low boy without a customer there watching and giving the ability to blame me for everything, get out of town.
Well, it's more so like, okay, you go back to the roadside. What's your rough ETA? Where's this piece of equipment that we need for this job? Do you have any idea? Okay. Well, now you got to set that up with the customer. You don't need to have the customer waiting here for 10 hours and you don't even have a truck selected yet to that can do this call.
Yeah, right? But I mean, so that is roadside. issue two, though. But if they're going to pay you for it, then by all means.
Yeah, they're paying me hourly. Exactly. Yeah. And they want me to stay there for an hour to take pictures and be a liaison between the member and them, which they could easily call the member themselves. I'll take the whatever it is an hour just to sit there and twiddle.
I know you can forward. Discuss it now because you're not contracted with them anymore. What was that hourly rate for heavies? Do you remember?
It was 175 or 185 an hour.
Okay. Yeah. All right, it was up there. Perfect. It was up in the reason why. Well, I thought for some reason just because the club and the everything, you'd be at a super low, you know, like 95 an hour rate.
No, like it was weird. The company that we work for together didn't even have a heavy rate. And if your company doesn't have a heavy rate for the big three-letter roadside, get on that, because anything over 10,000 pounds is classified as a heavy. And between you, me, and the fence post, they don't know what 10,000 pounds is. You can get a little single axle, a little single axle house trailer that only weighs about 6,000 pounds come in as a heavy call, and you're making really good money.
Yeah, or 3,500 dually loaded four-door diesel. Could come in close to the 10,000 pounds. Yeah. So
no, I've actually scaled one of those trucks on like one of our scales just to prove that, hey, this is heavy duty. Mm-hmm. And they paid it. Right. Yep. The member himself wasn't a high enough member to cover the heavy rates, but they paid me the heavy rates. So
yes,
I didn't care.
Right. When it comes to billing, and not so much billing, but collection from a driver, I seen a question posted on social media as well, asking what's a going night shift on call rate. He referenced just tow operators and dispatchers. Mm. Now this is something that I don't know if a lot of companies do. Mm. There's going to be, you know, I'll tell you what we do, and there'll be people saying you're too cheap, or I can't believe you pay people, or don't tell my people you do that, because they're going to want that. I think this is something that there's a lot of opinions on across the industry and a lot of different systems in place. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I am coming down with a cold. I'm trying to fight it off as long as I can.
Yep.
We currently pay our operators a $35 premium at night. Now, it is that or commission. So what that does is that covers if they don't make at least that much money in commission overnight, which happens, you know, I'd say maybe two nights a week, three nights a week. But, you know, it's a small price to pay for guys to be on call, right? Because it is true. If you go out and you don't get anything, you get a $20, you know, call, quick call, whatever, but you're on for the night, there is some sort of pay. I know companies that have paid $50. Those were normally the commission only companies. That's for operators. As for dispatchers, pay your dispatchers hourly. Whatever you come up with is a number. Pay them hourly. Your dispatchers are your first person. Like, they have a lot of your company's future in their hands. Mm-hmm. Right? A good dispatcher can, or a bad dispatcher can make or break a company. Right? So I don't think paying an on-call standby to a dispatcher, you know, I mean, you can look at it as on-call standby or just a cheap hourly rate, whatever the hell you want to do. But that is the one thing that we went away from, especially, and went to four full-time dispatchers.
Yep.
You know, covering all hours of the day, because, you know, the answering the phone calls at home, although, again, you'll make the argument that a smaller company with less volume and whatever, I don't care. Somebody answering a call at 2 a.m. half awake is bad customer service. And bad customer service is bad business. And bad business can lead to profitability issues. And I don't think I have to continue down that line of where that goes.
As for drivers, we both worked for a company where the dispatchers would also sleep during the night. Don't get me wrong, they were getting paid. I'm not sure what they were getting paid. It wasn't my tree to bark up, but I know it wasn't a lot of money. Right. So they would sleep, they would wake up, they'd take the call, they would send it off to the driver. And how many times did that driver not wake up and the dispatcher already fell back asleep? Right.
Yep.
Like it 100%. Happens.
Or the dispatcher would feel bothered if the driver had to call them back for information later on to do something because, you know what I mean, they were back to sleeping. Like, it's not an ideal setup. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember there was days, man, I remember back in the day, we used to, we had, you know, certain drivers would dispatch, and we're going like back 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those drivers, and we had a notebook with numbers in it, right? Like call numbers. Mm-hmm. And we would wake up, we would write it all down. We would call the driver or text it to him, however we did it. You know, a lot of it was mics because it was flip phone mics. And we'd mic the driver and we'd give him all the information. He'd write it down and then he'd go do it and he'd put it on his run sheet. And I would submit that book in the morning and I would get $2 for every call catted in that book. $2. Wow. And that didn't cover, it wasn't $2 every time my phone rang because, you know, how many times did you get a call? Hey, do you, you know, either we couldn't do it or they were looking for an update or price shopping at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, right? But it was $2 every call you put in that book. Back in the day of cash, I remember that again. CRA come after me. It's over 10 years ago. And you would, you know what I mean? So you'd end up maybe at a week, if you did a couple nights, you'd end up with $40 cash at the end of the week for doing this dispatching. And the reality of it wasn't the most practical. If you wanted to be a full-fledged, I don't want to say legitimate company, because there's a lot of legitimate companies that do it different ways than that. But if you want to be, you know, just like any other business, have a 24-hour in-office dispatch. Like how we do it now is I have, when we're regular and nobody's on holidays, I have a 6 to 2:30 dispatch in the office. Then I have a 2:30 to 11 o'clock at night in the office. 11 o'clock at night until 6 a.m., I have a dispatcher at home. Not a call center, not a call service, a dispatcher at home working from a PC, something that I've done at nights if need be, answering the phones through their computer. Everything is set up. They're a full dispatcher, right? So 24-hour in office, but 7 of those hours I've got an at-home worker because I don't need somebody in the office.
No.
Those nights, right? I need somebody in the office during regular business hours for sure. You cannot be working from home at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
You need them there.
That helps you too because, hey, they're at home, so they aren't so likely to bitch and moan about payment because they're not burning fuel. Their overhead's lower. You're not having someone coming into the office, having electricity on. You have to worry about the security of the office in case someone tries to get in to access their car late at night and you've got someone there. Like, it's just a lot easier if they are working remotely. And fortunately, we do have that ability now.
100%. I know that there's not enough work right now in the system that we've built to keep them, you know, going at it all night. I don't mind. You want to, you know, heck, I've done it. I got Netflix going on one screen. And I'm working on some project, you know what I mean? Whether I'm doing reports or whatever it is on the other screen. Now, our dispatchers wouldn't be running reports in that sense. But you're working on whatever project. When the phone rings, bam, you answer it. And you take the information. You get the driver going. You get back to your little project. You keep going. Like, it's something that they can do. And my nighttime, they seem to like it. You know, and that's, I've probably caught them sleeping once or twice before. It's a hard thing to train out, especially when they're working from home. There is no way to supervise that, right? I'm not going to tell them to leave a webcam on so I can check in at any time like I could in my offices. So, yeah, it's a little bit tougher on that side. But, no, I believe dispatch should be paid. You should have an hourly rate for your dispatchers nonstop, whether that varies between dispatcher to dispatcher or shift to shift. That's completely up to you. As for driver, I think anywhere, I don't know, on the American side with the conversion, I would say anywhere from $35 to $50, depending what their pay structure is.
So here's a question. We're talking about companies that have lower call volumes, like you're saying. What about the drivers who dispatch the nights as well? Right?
Like, so the nights I've been in
that situation.
I hate that idea.
Yeah. I know. It's not the greatest of idea because you get a call. The call is not that far away from your house. You've been busy all night. You take the call, and there's another driver. He hasn't done anything all night, but it's close to you. Are you going to get up and do it and screw up the next day, or are you going to try to get a couple of hours sleep and let the other guy do it? Well, you're already awake. You're not an asshole. You're probably just going to go do it because it's close. And in your head, you're like, well, it makes sense for the company, too, because it's less fuel, less yada, yada, yada. okay, what is that guy making? Is he getting a couple of extra percent added on to his commission if he's a commission-based driver? Or,
I misunderstood the question here. You're talking about a driver who is dispatching at night and also driving, or is
like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're dispatching, you shouldn't be driving. If you're driving, you shouldn't be dispatching. That's my kind of views on it. Even as a backup scenario, and I'm sure it happens. And again, smaller companies, whatever. If you were the primary guy answering the phones and doing the calls, I know this is how the towing industry ran for many, 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 many years. In my opinion, if you can afford not to, if the business is set up in a way, you know, is a decent sized business that you cannot, two people should always know where your driver is, the driver and the dispatcher. And that's a safety thing, right? That is just a risk of the job kind of thing, no matter what kind of business you're in, whether it be repos, whether it be roadsides, whether it be police contracts, whether it be just retail tows. From a safety side, two people should always know where they are, the driver and the dispatcher. And as for that one, yeah, like other drivers dispatching other drivers. I mean, if you want to create a power struggle, the hell within your company, that is a good way to do it because you know it, 100%. When you have somebody that is going to go out and do calls and can personally gain from doing maybe gravy calls or whatever, they're going to do it. 90% of people are going to do that.
Yeah. Even if they say, oh, well, I'm giving you the gravy work. 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to just, you know, oh, well, I'll just do this one because whatever, my truck's a little bit more capable or whatever.
No, that's in the ideal world. In the ideal world, they'll only do it because it makes sense for the company. In the real world, a lot of guys will do it because it makes sense to benefit them.
Yeah. And I'm not saying all guys do that by any means. I'm sure the other drivers under them are still going to make okay money and get the gravy calls every once in a while. But at what point do you start and stand back and start questioning? Because once you start questioning, that's when things can go downhill for that.
100%. It's a trip down the rabbit hole once you start questioning your pay and who's doing and what dispatcher. And who's paying for what. Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. If drivers lose faith in the dispatcher, it's a tough time. I've been through it. I've fought through it with some. Heck, I've even had my own moments of it. So whenever that happens, it is definitely tough. You got to have faith in your dispatchers because you got to have faith in everybody. You need to trust the guy working next to you, you know, guy, girl working next to you. You need to trust those in the office. You need to trust those doing accounting. You need to have trust. If you don't have trust, it's going to create a very sour work atmosphere. So that being said, we are starting to run out of time. I know you said, you know, all these episodes that we've done, I think it's time that we deserve a break. And it is something we're going to be doing. Don't worry. We are not breaking up. We are not Ross and Rachel. We will not be on not that yet. Kind of break.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
My wife will love that I used a Friends reference. But
she won't make it this far into the episode.
I don't know what G is going to do for 2 weeks. But I know I am finally taking my wife down south to the Dominican Republic. For 2 weeks coming up in April. It has been a long time coming. I work as hard as I work so I can spoil her every once in a while, and this is something I want to spoil her with.
Yep. I do have some clips of rambles that I might be able to throw together to put up on the YouTube channel in between those 2 weeks. I'm not saying anything's going to come out on the Tuesday morning, but you might get the odd upload on YouTube. Maybe I'll try a short. I'm not sure if shorts are a big thing, but I'll try to keep the channel active some way. The Spotify and the other places.
You have access to it too, so you can put something up there.
I'm not uploading a minute long short to our Spotify though. That's just
all right. Fair enough. So right. Yes. So the episode that would come out April 23rd and April 30th, there will be no episodes those weeks. We will be returning May 7th. So there's still obviously the show you're listening to right now. There'll be another one again next week. And then there will be a 2 week break without your wonderful two favorite co-hosts of the Tow and Life podcast. So that G can go and probably wander outside his convent, maybe try and bring in a couple new recruits, visit the local troubled youth centers, maybe the churches, and really help grow his audience.
The churches aren't a good spot to go and find them.
And as for myself, my wife and I will be down on a beach, sunbathing and taking a well-deserved time away together. I don't want to say a well-deserved break because I don't think I deserve a break. But a well, she definitely deserves some quality time together. So
she needs to be a priority for once in a while.
Yeah. So she will be a priority for 10 days in the Dominican Republic.
Wow. That's all she gets.
Yeah, that's all she gets. 10 days a year where she gets to be number uno. I will not be doing work. I will not. I thought about bringing my laptop and doing a podcast from down there.
That's a fight waiting to happen.
Yeah, 100%. That's a fight waiting to happen. So, yes. So, on behalf of myself and my wonderful co-host, Mr. Towman G, we thank you for joining us for another episode of the Towing Life Podcast. Don't forget, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at thetowinglife@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at The Towing Life Podcast. Visit our website, www.towinglife.ca, or comment down below over on the YouTube. Thank you. Take care, and see you next time.
Toodles.